All right, it's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Wednesday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 812-333-2665. Plenty to talk about tonight as IU basketball has their new head coach, their leader for the next several years, and maybe more even than that in the long run, as Archie Miller has been given the job by Fred Glass. Monday was the press conference, and it's been a media blitz ever since, with Archie being all over the place and Fred Glass going on here and all kinds of stuff. And we kind of wait to all of the fallout and everything that happens from here. But Glass, you and Terry had a chance to talk a lot about Archie Miller on Monday. And overwhelmingly, it sure seems like, at least nationally, that everybody loves this hire. And even in the state of Indiana, it seems to be very much in his favor. There are some people who are going to be a little sour, I think, on this for a number of reasons. Most of them are just kind of, hey, what has he done entirely yet? Which I think is fair in only 6 years. But, you know, he's got a lot of promise. He's done a great job at the University of Dayton. He's spent several years at several other large institutions with some pretty darn good coaches, including his brother, including Thad Matta.
You're starting to plug holes in those doubts right there.
Exactly right. I mean, he's been a lot of places. Sometimes, depending on what it is, you know, people look and they say, well, what did you do in this long, big, long thing? And did you jump around? And frankly, when you're an assistant coach, if you can jump around, it's good to jump around a little bit and get looks at different, you know, different ways other programs and other people run their programs. You get a lot of different views that way. If he had stuck with his brother for 6 years growing up as an assistant, you might go, well, he knows one way of doing things, and then he went and did it and made that work once.
You're plugging the holes in the resume.
But you know, he's got Thad Matta on there. He's got Herb Sendek at two different places on there. He was a Western Kentucky too, so he's been around a bit.
And don't leave out one very important factor that I discussed on Monday, and I think this needs to resonate. He played and started at NC State in the ACC for a long time. Yep. He played college basketball. And you can read it, watch it, film it, coach it, clinic it. But if you haven't played the game, you do not have that resonation with players in situations where you say, when I was at Cameron Indoor and we were down six with 38 seconds to go, we ran this and it was successful, and this is how we did it. There is a thing to that. It's not the end of the world. It's just like being an IU guy or not IU guy. It's not the end of the world, but there is a different way of seeing the game and going through it when you've played that.
Sure.
When your dad was a coach, he talked about in his press conference and in these other interviews he's done, you know, being in second grade, being the ball boy for Pitt with Jerome Lane and Charles
being
Smith and his brother,
yep,
and going through all that stuff. So there is another level there that might not compensate for. He's not a head coach for 15 years, has been to three Final Fours and won a national championship.
Right.
I get that.
Right.
I'm not going to argue that. But there was only two hires, probably just one hire, that you would have made where you wouldn't have some blowback.
Any questions?
And it was Brad Stevens and Billy Donovan.
Right.
Brad Stevens would be one, and Donovan would be 1A or B in that situation. So there's always going to be people that don't feel that it worked out in their favor, and usually it's because they have somebody in their corner they wanted because they wanted something out of it.
Right.
And that's usually how those things work. And you can be upset that Tom's not the coach anymore. That's fine. You're God-given right as an American to do that. You can be upset that Indiana didn't hire an Indiana guy, quote unquote, to move forward. Sure, you can do all that. But when you start digging deeper into Archie Miller's coaching and playing CV, as we've just told you for the last 3 or 4 minutes, a lot of those questions should be answered. A lot of those concerns should be alleviated because they're facts. They're not opinion.
Right.
He's been around some big programs. He's been through different styles, as you mentioned. He's been through it as a player. He won two conference championships in the A-10 in Dayton. Tell me off the top of your head how many guys he put in the NBA.
Yeah.
Well, something is working. The blueprint's working.
And that's the VCU, the George Mason.
He told a great story about
those teams.
He told a great story, analogy, whatever you want to call it. He said, Sean and I went to Arizona, and it wasn't in good shape.
Right.
And all we went out there with was our blueprint and our belief we'd get it done.
Right.
We didn't know anybody. Mm-hmm. We didn't know any AAU coaches. We didn't know Los Angeles.
Right.
We didn't know the area. We didn't know any of that.
Right.
And they went in, and Sean Miller's record speaks for itself at Arizona. You want to be the guy that points out he hasn't gotten to a Final Four and loses in regional finals? I can't argue that point. But that program was struggling at the time, and it's not struggling anymore. I think they had 32 wins this year.
Look, I think it's fair. And
that translates. You brought a plan to translate.
We said this. Indiana is of the stature that it should at least be in the conversation from some of the top coaching prospects that have accomplished significant things. And that's why the Billy Donovan and Brad Stevens became things that you could talk about.
To dream about.
And what is nice about Archie Miller is he is pretty well universally thought of well. Certainly as a general basketball coach, then you get into running the program and what he's done here at Dayton. Now, Dayton's got some things going for it. It's not unbelievable, but it's got some things going for it. But it's also not like a Butler where it seems like their program never stops no matter who they put in. They've had some coaches that have had some success and then it's fallen down and then it's got back up under a different guy and it's fallen back down. It's got back, you know, and those guys all run away the minute they get there. He stuck around, won a couple conference championships. What you like about Archie Miller is all the accolades you do hear about him in this short amount of time as a head coach and still, you know, several different views into different ways of running programs as an assistant coach. He's 38. This is a 30-year hire if they get it right. Now, that has to happen. Has to get it right. He has to be good. He has to succeed, obviously. But at that age, you know, I don't want to go crazy about this and make him into an 800 winner, you know, and Coach K.
But I think this is your
point. But you're talking about a long-term type of hire if he really is everything you've heard about him.
Exactly.
Because it might not be 10 national championships, but it could be 30 years.
If you win here and you make it that, you're not going to go anywhere else.
You don't have to.
You don't have to go anywhere else. And that's part of the deal, and that's part of the excitement. The plan he put together, the blueprint he has put together, the understanding, you've heard all the, by now, the press conference clips from Fred Glass and everything else, how he's got a plan. He's going to work the plan. It's going to start with Indiana, and it's going to be a grassroots program. It's his players. It's his responsibility. They're going to play a certain way. And it's exciting because I think the point about the coaching change is, it is change. It should be different. You should have different expectations because you wouldn't be making a change if you wanted the same thing.
Yep.
So it should be done a different way, and that's the interesting part of it. And he talked about, again, in the conference, which I think was interesting that jumps out. I haven't spoken with you about this, why I'm bringing this up, and I am rehashing it. He's talked about the three reasons why you schedule the non-conference like you do.
Yeah.
He has a plan for why he wants to schedule. He wants to be prepared for the Big Ten season, the NCAA season. He wants to be prepared on the seed line, and he wants to. Mm-hmm. What's the other one? And he wants to make sure that
it's exciting for the fans.
It's exciting for the fans, and those are things that might be a little bit different than before. But heck, look, the Kentucky series. Hey, we're talking about that again. Where did that come from? Hey, okay. Sounds good to me. Let's do that. Let's have some fun there. The only time he laughed in his press conference, though, was when Dave First from Channel 6 News said, you got Fred yet to get you and Sean a home and home?
Yeah.
He broke up. That was good.
Who isn't for that? A lot to like about Archie. He's an intense guy. We'll talk about what we like so far, what we've heard when we get back from the break. Taking your phone calls, of course, too. 812-333-2665 is a phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. Back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 812-333-2665 is a phone number. Archie Miller is your new IU basketball coach. Introduced on Monday, came out on Saturday, but the press conference on Monday. You mentioned the organization with which Archie Miller came to the press conference with to show his kind of philosophies and what he wanted to make sure got covered from the standpoint of how you walk into this job. Extremely important. I mean, anybody who goes through these has to have these. My dad tried to get 10 different jobs while he was at IU, and, you know, he always had to have, here's what I want to do, here's where I want to be, here's who's going to come along with me and said they would, here's who else I'm going to look at, here's my philosophy. You got to have all that stuff, especially if you're going to be looking at the Indiana basketball job. So you've got to have that, and you like what he heard. I mean, you do. You like the things that he said about a lot of different areas. There was something that is less specific that I liked about it that I think is very important, and that is that he said, I have to prove myself to the state of Indiana. after he talked about how important it was in every aspect, whether it's the fans, the players, the recruiting, any of that sort of stuff, about how he wants to be in Indiana, which everybody around here loves. What I think is most important is he said, I've got to prove myself. I've got to work really, really hard to make sure everybody understands this is what we're going to do and what we're going to be about. I can't just say it. I can't just walk in the door and tell you. I got to work really hard. I got to do things with this group of people. I got to go to these places. I got to talk to these people. He gets it. I mean, he's been at Dayton. Dayton's got some, you know, some fan base behind it, and that was brought up several times.
Right, yeah.
But when you come over here, you know, it's quadruple, it's 100 times, whatever you want to say about it, and the fact that he realizes already and right away how hard he has to work to prove himself at all these levels is, to me, kind of the humility I think you still have to have with that.
And take it back one step further, and he even mentioned that with his dad and said, hey, look, you know, you're going to be the smallest guy. You're going to be probably not the best shooter. You're mm-hmm. probably not going to be the quickest guy, but no one's going to outwork you.
Right.
And that's been instilled from him in day one. And it's not lip service. That's what he's done. That's what he's had to show to do it. And he's an interesting guy, too, because when he got done playing, he went right into coaching. He didn't go anywhere for 5 or 6 years. Didn't go into finance or work at Lilly like Brad mm-hmm. Stevens did, which it doesn't matter. I'm just saying.
Right.
He has been been basketball. He's been this whole life.
Yep.
So when people say, well, he's not an Indiana guy, and Fred Glass says, well, he kind of reminds me of one.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's completely fair. And he is a basketball junkie. And being with a Hall of Fame coach, high school coach, his father, his brother is a little bit older than him. I want to say about 10 years. If he's in second grade when Sean's at Pittsburgh, I'm just doing the math from that. That's at least 11. You know, if somebody's 19 and you're in second grade, you're usually 6 or 7.
Yeah, that's right.
So I'm just throwing that. It doesn't matter. But I'm saying he's got great resources.
It's 10 years. Yep.
Right there. His brother is a proven college basketball coach. He's been on the USA basketball under-19 staff.
Right.
There are so many things that people, I don't think, realized about Miller. The Miller talk got lost when it was Stevens and Donovan.
Sure.
He wasn't in that group, and rightfully so.
He's not that accomplished as a head coach.
Completely fine. And if you're upset that he was chosen over those two, I get it.
Right.
You're absolutely right. If those were the three choices,
that's all you
and you came
for
with Archie Miller from those three, in a vacuum, you wouldn't be very happy.
Right.
Now that he's the coach, and if you don't support the decision and you abandon ship, God love you. It's happened before in this program. It's happened before 5 minutes ago. It's happened before 5 years ago.
Again.
It happened 10 years ago. Yeah. It did. And he's right. He has to prove it. He has to prove it through his team's play. He has to prove it through wins and losses. He has to prove it through recruits, grassroots program, getting back in good graces. Mm-hmm. It's not bad. We heard Kyle Simpson this morning. Joe Smith had audio with Kyle, the former South assistant and guy at Southport, mm-hmm. said there's nothing wrong with the last guy. It just could be better.
Sure.
So there is an opportunity, an angle there, because when Indiana was in their back-to-back Sweet 16s, mm-hmm. how many Indiana kids did you see after the back-to-back Sweet 16s come here?
Not a lot.
Well, that's why.
Yeah.
You can't. That's one of the things that he's made a promise. Tom made the same promise, interestingly enough, in his opening press conference, mm-hmm. that he was going to recruit the state inside out.
Same
phraseology, but at some point, then it was other places. And Archie, I think, has figured out, being at Dayton and winning games and getting players. And again, look up the guys. I don't know if he's got anybody in the league. If he found a way to win conferences and win leagues there, now you give him an extra layer of talent if he can get into some of these places.
Yeah.
I'm very excited to see what he can do.
Let's go to some of that audio we have on Fred.
Let me jump this around.
You mentioned it, and it was made a big deal. We talked about it here. When Fred, in his press conference, when he announced that Coach Crean was going to be let go, he mentioned specifically this double check plus thing about being an Indiana guy, being from the state, all those sorts of things. And he was on the air earlier. We've got some network audio.
Network
here.
Indiana, our news gathering partners, helped us out with that. I'm going to see. Let's hope this translates over the air. Here we go. This is Fred Glass from earlier today. If I hit the play button, that'll also help.
The players like the monolithic block, like everybody thinks alike. They certainly don't. And I'm not going to kid you that people didn't have strong views, but all of them really came back to the thing of, hey, man, just get the best guy you can. Get the best guy that's going to be somebody we can rally around and all that. And some of them thought that really ought to be an IU guy, as it were. But I think a lot of, I'm not going to say all the former players, but a lot of the former players are like a lot of other Hoosier fans, I think, that feel like this is a guy they can rally around.
Yeah, so that's a little bit on it. We'll have another one here in just a second. But, again, good
he
stuff.
He understands and appreciates the opportunity that I see. You know, I see this as a great opportunity. He sees it the same way. He embraces the high expectations that we have. He's eager to interact with our former players. He sees the state of Indiana as a huge plus with the coaching in the state and the players in the state.
So that's a little bit more from Fred. Now, he has one of these quotes, if we can find it, where he talks about that double check plus thing maybe being overblown. And, you know, I think a lot of people did. I talked about it. I said I liked everything about Fred except that comment because I didn't want anybody going too crazy on the Indiana thing. Because, you know, everybody who's brought up when they talk about an Indiana guy for this job is transparently a Bob Knight guy. And I get that. I mean, it's 30 years, of course. But nobody's talking about bringing back DJ White.
I spoke personally with every former IU basketball player who expressed interest in and was available to talk about this position and why they would be the best choice. It was important to me not to have the situation where, I don't know if this is lore or not, but where, you know, iconic IU guys didn't get their phone calls returned in previous searches. I wasn't going to do that. Now, was it perfect? Nothing's perfect, but I did connect with all those guys, and it's both expressing their interest in being available. And there were people still playing in the tournament, and again, not limiting that to any particular person, but a lot of names that were being bandied about that weren't available, and I wasn't going to, interrupt that. So I think we held true to talking to the IU alums, player alums that were interested.
All right, so looking through some more of these here too, and. I mentioned, you know, when it comes to an IU guy, a lot of people were mentioning Steve Alford. I heard Randy Whitman. I heard Mike Woodson. I heard Dane Fife mentioned.
I think I found it.
Okay. all of them good guys. I just want to point out again that there is that commonality. It's not just being an Indiana University guy. It's being a Bob Knight guy that everybody was thinking about. Nobody was talking about bringing Bracy Wright or Marshall Strickland back as the coach. Nobody was talking about DJ White. Nobody was talking about George McGinnis's grandson or any of that kind of stuff. They're talking about a narrow group of guys who all happen to be coaching right this minute. So it definitely got blown a little bit out. And here's, if we've got it, here's what Fred said.
For better or worse, I'm the guy in this job. I've got to make the decision that I think is best for IU. And I really tried to factor out, you know, winning the press conference or what I anticipated, you know, to be in some quarters some criticism of the choice because I was absolutely convinced he was the right guy. So the favorable response for me has been an unexpected bonus. And I think a real credit to Archie as a person and as a coach.
And that's Fred Glass again giving us some of his thoughts from our Network Indiana partners.
But again, his point in one of them was it got way overblown when I said it because he maybe didn't mean to focus on it at all or mention it at all because it's just kind of a note-taking thing of his, and maybe he's backtracking. I don't know. But that was some of his explanation about his comments about it needing to be an IU guy. There are a lot of people think that needs to be the case with this hire. And what I think gets missed in trying to compare Archie Miller to Steve Alford, just as an example, or Mike Woodson or, you know, Randy Whitman, is everything I see out of Archie Miller's upbringing looks to me like an Indiana kid. I mean, when I see
Fred made that same argument.
He's a coaching, you know, he comes from a coaching family. It's right outside of Pittsburgh. It's kind of a tough area, you know, that sort of thing.
Blue collar.
Yeah, you grow up without a hell heck of a lot. You have a ball in your hand from the time you're born, all the way through. You're never anything but a basketball guy. I don't see what doesn't make him an Indiana guy right this minute. And I'm not trying to go over the top in love for Archie Miller here. It's just when you say you want an Indiana guy, I think you want somebody who gets people around here and what they want. And I think they heard a lot of what they want because they want defense. They want guys who are going to bust their butt. They're going to want hard, down the stretch, hard to score on us, late in games in possessions, that sort of thing. I heard philosophy-wise out of him what I think most Indiana fans want to hear. Now, maybe the attacking offense brings in a lot of what we heard for several years here now, but that's the way people are playing nowadays. But you got to flip it to the other side of the ball, and you got to be salty on defense, and you got to make it tough on people. And he sure emphasized that, and Fred Glass even mentioned it during that press conference too. Now, the proof is in the pudding. You got to do it. And it is hard work to get to know everybody in the state, and there's a lot of catering to people you got to do around here.
Absolutely.
Every job has its politics. This one goes maybe even farther into the high school level than a lot of them do. But he's got to get to work. He's got to do all that. And if he does, again, you got a lifer potential here.
I don't think you come to Indiana if you don't want to live in the neighborhood.
I love that quote.
If you don't want to move into that neighborhood, then you shouldn't be here.
Yeah.
If you like the neighborhood, then you come. And I think, like, I've been at a high level at a lot of different spots. I've been great with people. I think I'm very confident that what we do works, and I'd like for the opportunity to try and make it work here. So there you go. If you weren't wondering if he's ready or big enough for the job, well, I think we'll see soon, and we'll see shortly. The next question will be, who stays and who goes? What pieces of the puzzle will he have to deal with? How quickly can he get his staff put together? Because a one-man band isn't going to be able to get out and recruit Indiana and get those relationships kindled and started. But obviously, the recruiting season will be right around the corner. That'll be a natural place where everybody gathers, so that's a good starting place.
He's got to recruit his team to start with right now, and he's got to recruit the three recruits that were signed already, too.
And he needs some assistant coaches to do that as well. So we'll see what happens with that. He said he's going to put together the best staff he can at Indiana because that's what the staff deserves. So, again, interesting ways to run a program, and I think people should be excited for it. Sadly, there is no basketball for a while. That's how these things always work, but before you know it, basketball season will be here, and the Hoosiers hopefully will be different, and they should be extremely different starting of next year in just attitude alone.
If you got to see them against Wichita State, you got to see one of the better games of the first weekend, too. That was a pretty good game. Playing Dayton,
tough
playing
matchup.
Michigan State.
7-10.
7-10, exactly. We got to take another quick break. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. Zone with Dave and Glass on Newstalk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Notes for you, too. We've got the Final Four this weekend.
Yes, we do.
Saturday, the games tip off just after 6 o'clock, and we'll have pregame, we believe, starting at 4. But tune in at 6. You'll hear basketball. Tune in earlier, and you'll hear some pregame. And we'll have both the games on Saturday and then again on Monday with more to come on Monday.
Yeah, and Monday we should take you right. I think last year we did an extra little bit maybe to bridge that gap. So we'll see what the programming department has for us. But we will be here Championship Monday at 6. Now we could be a little bit later with you, taking you into Westwood One's Final Four coverage at night. We could be leaving a little early. You never know on the last game of the season how that works out. So when we know, we will let you know.
And we've got the comment we were looking for.
Finally.
And again, so much was made out of this little blurb in an original press conference, and I wanted to hear this.
Yep, and this is, again, Fred Glass from our partners at Network Indiana.
Being an IU guy, either from Indiana as a native or from Indiana University, was a positive for me. And sometimes when I'm making my list and things like that, it'll be like a double check plus or something in the margin. So it just kind of spilled out, and it took on a little bit of a life of its own. I think maybe because I use that colorful or goofy language, people really focused on that and not the other part that I said right at the same time was it was absolutely not a litmus test. You know, I made really clear that I thought it was a positive but not a requirement, and I said that directly. And, you know, and some people might have made a bigger deal about saying, hey, he says it doesn't have to be an IU guy, but it really went the other way, saying an IU guy is a positive. So from the beginning, I tried to be clear that I thought it was a positive, but not a must-have. I think people focused a little bit more on the positive and less on the fact that I didn't say we had to do that. But in the final analysis, I think it's silly to draw a litmus test line in the sand and say it's absolutely got to be, you know, a person, you know, that is somebody's definition of an IU guy. If it disqualifies somebody who I think is outstanding, and frankly, broadly defined, I think he is an IU type guy. He's, you know, he's a steel town, Pittsburgh, plain spoken, you know, real person who I think is going to wear very well here, and over time, you know, become an IU guy like a Scott May or a Quinn Buckner or other guys who are from other places. And of course, they actually win here, but become, you know, what Quinn Buckner calls OKP, our kind of people.
Yep, and so there's Fred talking about that. And it was made by a national writer as quite a big focus and a bit of a joke.
I just don't know why you'd want to pick nitpick with him. It's just interesting.
It did come across, because we talked about it too. I mean, yeah. It did come across a little strong, and I think everybody thought, oh, God.
But he did say litmus test four or five times after it. He's right.
Yeah.
Sometimes you hear what you just want to hear.
Well, that's exactly right. And you know why, too? That's an unusual comment to make in any kind of potential
that's
national search situation with a big job, is that we want to start with our guys first. Nobody says that. So that's why it came across.
You can search all you want, but you don't have to hire who you want.
And I say it again, when you look at Archie Miller and his the way he was brought up, it sure looks like a guy who would match all the qualifications of an Indiana guy. He just has to wear the red a little bit longer. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Let's bring in John.
Hello, John.
What's happening?
How you doing, guys?
Good.
Good to hear from you.
Listen, there's no such thing right now as a home run hire in anything. You don't know how guys are going to do. I think this is a really good hire. We're going to get Brad Stevens or Billy Donovan. But the thing I want to say is, for the first time, I think since I was here when they hired Bobby Knight. And I think that press conference was his press conference done in Indianapolis, by the way, after they hired him. But this is the first one that has been absent any politics or any desperation. And by that I mean, when they hired Mike Davis,
there was a cloud.
Was done because the players told the administration, we want Mike Davis as our coach because he recruited us. And the administration and the athletic department folded like a cheap suit to, instead of doing their job, the legwork and the phone work that an athletic director should do.
Took the easy way out.
Okay,
yeah, and it was September also.
You had the predictable results.
That was the next one.
And then when he was let go, supposedly Adam Herbert, the president, wanted a minority coach, which there's nothing wrong with that, but you're restricting your pool, and guys like John Beilein get left out of the chance to interview for the job, and you hire a guy that's got everything but born to cheat on his forehead, the results are predictable. And then you have to bring in a guy when you're on probation, and there aren't a whole lot of guys that want to get their brains beat out for 3 years in a row, and Tom Crean, to his everlasting credit, was willing to roll up his sleeves and do that, and I'll always respect him for that.
I will too, John, but I want to make one point absolutely clear, that Tom Crean did not do this for $200,000.
Tom Crean got paid a ton
of money when he walked in the door. He got extended immediately because of the depth of the problem and was paid in full.
Let's move forward.
But this is a job that demands things like that.
It's not an easy job,
and it pays very well
because it has a lot of
stress comes with it
and a lot of expectations.
But I wonder if anybody taking that job would have realized what a mess you're inheriting, even if you're told about it and you see this stuff. And so I give him credit forever.
Amen.
Yes, he wasn't wearing a hair shirt when he came here, and he's not wearing a hair shirt when he left here. But this is the first guy they have been able to hire and say, objectively, there's no probation. There's the only pressure has been from some IU people that want Steve Alford and nobody else.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you.
If you're Fred Glass, you go out and get the guy that you think is the best opportunity for you to win games.
Yeah, and who will take the job? That's got to be the asterisk
exactly.
to that as well. And I mentioned that exact same theory. I went through the exact same thing a couple weeks ago when we did the first show on this, because it is the first true time the job has been open as a regular coaching position, not a reclamation project,
right?
Not a, oh geez, what's going on here?
Since 1970,
right? 71 or whatever it was, exactly. So it was interesting, and I think Archie Miller connects all those dots.
And you're not following a legend, so you don't have people say, oh, nobody was going to come in there and follow Bob Knight or something like that. I mean, as good as Tom Crean's done, the job's open. I mean, there are a lot of good candidates, and I think that they got the one that I think will do the best job for them. But this is the first time, so, I mean, as far as people saying a home run hire, I hope they're right. But no one will know until he gets here and does the work. But he has the appearance of being the guy who's a grinder, who knows how to recruit, who knows how to coach, knows how to teach, has a thick skin that I think you'll have to have. And you play the ACC as a 5'9 point guard, you better have
it. Jeez, he's got plenty of that.
There are still those questions, because Dayton's got a nice fan base, but it doesn't have the pressure of Indiana. And he's going to be waiting in a pool for recruiting that he started at a little bit in Arizona and certainly at Ohio State. I don't know how much is in there, but he clearly seen it. So, you know, how does he do it on, you know, as the head guy? I mean, these are all questions to be answered, but he's seen parts
it's
of
pretty,
all
it's pretty simple.
He has,
John,
he's had success doing it.
And if he doesn't, he'll be looking for another job as well. It's cruel to say, but that's how this world works now. If you don't win basketball games or football games, there isn't the nicety that goes along with that. You have to put up, because again, if you paid Archie Miller $1.3 million a year and he did okay, mm-hmm. you get that for that kind of money, sure. But that's not the case. The pressure comes with payment. The pressure is a privilege. We hear all great athletes say that all the time. It is sure. a privilege to have $40 million Simon Scott Assembly Hall, yep. $20 million Cook Hall, $1 million recruiting budget. The last guy had. You fly here. You stay in 5-star hotels. You fly private everywhere you go to mm-hmm. recruit. There's not a lot of things holding you back in this job if you choose.
He was very specific about saying how much of the job looks good before you even get to the bells and whistles, and maybe even without some of the bells and whistles. I mean, he made that point that it's everything that kind of goes along with it. Otherwise, it makes it such a good job.
And what Al Davis say, John?
As a 49er fan, I hate quoting a Raider, especially when he's right, or an ex-Raider, God rest him. So just win, baby, and that does solve your problems.
Absolutely.
It does.
All the other stuff doesn't. But when you pay the kind of money, then there's the kind of money there is in college athletics now. You better win now or else you're going to be gone.
Yeah, the expectations come along with that paycheck. And again, I'm going to pick on Oklahoma State. You want to hire a guy for $1.3 million, sure. and wonder why he leaves for $2.7 million.
Right.
Well, that's
right.
You chose to do that. There's not a salary cap or a general manager that says you have to do this.
You're making plenty of money over there in football.
You have to run, and T. Boone Pickens has more money than that.
Exactly.
So you've seen how other programs have mm-hmm. done it. You saw how Illinois did it. And I think if people really want to question Archie Miller to a degree, what other big program that's made a hire where you said, boy, we'd like to have that guy?
Right.
There isn't one.
I just go back to what Notre Dame did when they hired Charlie Weiss, and everybody was saying it's a home run hire. Everybody else get out of the way. He's going to win multiple championships.
Decided schematic advantage.
Yeah,
and I said, it's a quarterback, stupid. It's not an assistant coach, and that was an easy one to figure
Archie,
out.
Archie doesn't walk in the door telling you how much smarter he is than everybody
else.
No,
he's not that kind of guy. He seems like a very serious man who knows what he wants to do, and I know he's. I've heard from people that know him that he's super organized and detail oriented, and that's really good. So,
and if there's one thing you've heard in the last couple of years is how smart everyone in Indiana is about basketball. They're all coaches, and they're all smarter than the guy who's got the jobs.
Yeah,
so,
I'll get off. Last question: do you think the people that want it offered will support Archie Miller, or do you think you're going to wait and see? And if he starts to stub his toe a little bit,
you'll hear about it if he stinks in year one.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you'll definitely hear about it if he's no good in year one. If he's decent in year one and he's competing for something in year three,
yeah. The irony, if he stinks in year one with Tom's players, that's kind of not ironic.
Well,
you're 18 and 16.
Here's the thing.
You can't lose, in my opinion.
He set a certain bar by some of the struggles that he had in certain seasons at Dayton when he turned around and had nice success with those seasons. I mean, at one point in time, he had 6 scholarship players on his roster and still managed to win a game in the NCAA tournament. So, he's shown some success with some adversity, too. I'm not saying he needs to win the Big Ten next year. That would be a little crazy.
John, if they're true basketball fans, I think you're going to notice the first 5 minutes of the Archie Miller era on the official game floor, it's going to be noticeably different.
I don't think the nostalgia thing goes very far.
A friend of mine that knows him says, has dealt with him before, says, you get ready for a culture shock. It's totally different.
Yeah, and the next project will be how many buy into the culture shift, because I think a lot of guys came here saying, hey, I'm going to catch it and shoot it, and then they're going to pass it mm-hmm. to me the next time down the court. And I don't think Archie operates that way, because he said it in the press conference. It was it stuck out to me like a sore thumb. In tight games, in big conference games, in NCAA tournament games, you cannot be one-dimensional. You must be able to win more than one way. And I'm excited
against
to see.
Against more than one system.
Against more one style.
Too.
That's exactly right. And I'm excited to see the fruits of that labor. And, John, you know what I'm happy to get back to? I'm happy to get back to basketball. That's what I'm happy to. And this seems like a basketball guy. Dave and I were just talking about last half hour. All he's known his entire life, his dad was a coach. His older brother was a star. He was a star. Mm-hmm. All he has done for 38 years is basketball.
Right.
And he played in the ACC, as you mentioned. That's huge. He recruited at Arizona. He recruited at Ohio State.
He's got a fighter mentality. I mean, so
he knows.
He's going to hear some negatives,
man,
but hey.
And I think he'll do really, really well.
And you know what, John? The nostalgia stuff, it lasts for a little while.
Does.
If you start to win and win big, it goes away.
Yep.
Thanks.
All right, thanks for the call, John.
John's
we appreciate
always great.
It.
He's, you guys have been around. He's been around. Told you he's here when night's hired. You got perspective's good. That's why we have Terry in here. You guys have been around.
Are we
seen stuff?
Are we taking a break
here?
Good.
Yeah, let's get one more, and then we'll come back and get you ready for the final four.
So we got to do that real quick. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Back in just a minute or two. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. We'll be right back. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. We were talking about it off the air, but the diversity of assistant coaching jobs and coaches you coached under, this is where the experience part gets interesting for Archie Miller. Because, you know, if he was 28 and he got a job at Dayton for 6 years and that's all he knew, that'd be really, really neat. But you don't get some of the wisdom of some really good coaches around you either. Now, of course, you got your dad and Sean and all that, but being under Sean for a couple of years and implementing what they did there, being with Thad Matta, being with Darren Horn, being with Herb Sendek, you saw different ways to run programs.
About five of them.
I hate this guy, but I'm going to quote him anyways.
Uh-oh.
Mark Titus, who was at Ohio State. I think he's a twerp. But anyways, he said something extremely interesting about this because he was at Ohio State when Archie was an assistant there. And he said, Archie was great because Archie would talk to you about you and family and living and everything up until the point where
you walked through the door into
that court, and then he would be all over you about how much better you need to get as a basketball player, and then you'd walk out of the building
and he'd be right back around you
and you'd be the best nearly best friends and all
that sort of thing.
People never think about the relationships that go on there when it comes to coaches and players and things like that. But I loved that quote because that's about identifying with the kid and getting into his business in a good way, you know, and really developing him. And that's not a comment on any other coaches.
No.
That's just strictly what I liked that I heard
from a former player
about Archie in particular.
That's the thing moving forward on this program. This isn't a compare and contrast program. This is the new Indiana basketball coach.
This is the coach.
This is the page has been turned. We're talking and moving forward. So we want to make sure that if anybody thinks we're subtweeting,
hey, look, Crean was known for this sort of thing to a degree too.
Or underhandedly taking shots at Crean. We're talking about Archie. And the point he made with Thad Matta was, he said Thad came up to him one day and said, "Hey, you know, you spend all this time recruiting, you spend all this time watching film, doing this.
Yeah.
He's like, what about those kids that you got right here?"
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Boom, that changed my whole."
Yeah.
Whole thing
yeah.
right there. You have to do both. You have to balance both.
Yeah.
But you can't just be one or the other. You have to do all the tricks mm-hmm. that go with it. And they're not tricks, but the expectations. They are kids. They are human beings.
Mm-hmm.
They're not robots you throw out there and play and say go. So for him to have learned this all by 38,
yeah.
what I'm encouraged to see is this isn't going to be on-the-job training. Mm-hmm. Oh, give him a break.
Right.
He's not used to this. He's not used to this media.
Mm-hmm.
He's not good at press conferences. He hasn't had to deal with that. But we've had all these excuses for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have them anymore.
Right.
Now we have wins and losses, and those are the things that are going to be focused on, and that's encouraging for me.
It's interesting for people to see that because, again, they went through, you know, something he learned from every stop he was at.
You have to learn something. Isn't that a great thing about going to different places?
That's what was nice. It was diverse.
Yeah.
I mean, it was. I mean, he could have said, I learned the pack line defense under Thad, and I learned the motion offense mm-hmm. under my brother, and I learned three-point shooting focus. You know, he could have said
practice
all that.
Practice regime, yeah, routine, and everything.
Exactly,
else.
But it wasn't. Yeah. It wasn't just here's
and
a strategy thing.
And I'm going back on this, and this is what grabbed me, and it's not going to let me go, and it's positive in this sense. People say, you come from Dayton, how are you going to translate into the Big Ten, this or that? Him and his brother went to Arizona.
Yeah.
A very proud Arizona program.
Yep.
1997 national champions beat Kentucky in overtime at the Hoosier Dome. Miles Simon's your MVP.
Mm-hmm.
Storied history.
Yes.
Lute Olson.
Yep.
Sean Elliott, Steve Kerr. You can go through some of the great names of it back in the 80s and 90s.
11 Elite Eights.
Very proud program.
Even more Sweet 16s, obviously. Four Final Fours.
Very proud program.
Runner-up and a champion in 5 years.
They had hard times, and I'm going to tell this story one more time tonight.
Mm-hmm.
They packed up from Xavier, where they were doing quite well.
Yes.
Sean's in charge, Archie's baby brother, riding shotgun.
Yeah, Archie was coming in, but yes. Uh-huh.
They pack up, and they go to Tucson, where they knew no AAU coaches.
Yeah, nobody.
They knew nobody in Los Angeles. Well, I'm not saying nobody.
Right.
His words were, we didn't know a person when we got out there.
Yeah.
That's his words, not mine.
Mm-hmm.
So they go to the Pac-12, 10 at the time,
right,
in a basketball hotbed, walk in there with no crutches, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
besides the administration hiring you as a new guy and saying, there you go.
Right. Take over.
And they did. And bring up Sean Miller's record at Arizona.
His second year, they were 30-8. They won the Pac-10, and they went to the Elite Eight.
Remember, they got rid of the coach before Sean Miller because they weren't meeting Arizona's basketball.
Is that Kevin O'Neill?
Could have been. No, he was at USC, I thought. It was Mike somebody that went on to the NBA after that. A big recruiter. Anyhow, the point was, the job wasn't getting done. So they entrusted it to a guy who was at a mid-major program in Ohio. Xavier in the mm-hmm. were they in the A-10 at the time? I'm not even sure. MCC, what was whatever it was.
They had an interim that was assistant.
Yeah. And they sent him out there, and Archie said in his press conference, we went out there with nothing but our plan, our blueprint, mm-hmm. and we had to execute it. We didn't have anybody to fall back on. No one was giving us
right.
this, that, or the other thing. And then Arizona's results speak for themselves.
Yeah.
Archie left in 2011 to go to Dayton, got him a head coaching job, being his brother's assistant.
Mm-hmm.
So you take the plan out there, and all you have is your plan and your faith in your plan and your work ethic.
Yeah.
If you don't think he can make the jump 2 hours on I-70 and then down down the road to another league, he's already done this. This is not a rebuilding project.
And it's not like he doesn't know Indiana. I mean, they had a tragedy this year, but the kid that,
New Haven,
that passed
Indiana,
away was from up by Fort Wayne.
Right.
Exactly. So, I mean, he's used to recruiting these areas.
And again, he's in a familiar area.
Mm-hmm.
He's in a place where he's grown up. Pittsburgh's, what, 6 hours from here?
Yeah.
Okay. We're not talking about going to another coast
mm-hmm.
or somewhere else. There's a plan.
Yeah.
The belief in the plan, the belief and the results that the plan has worked somewhere else gets me. I'm ready to see it.
Yeah.
I'm ready to see it out there. I want to see this baby executed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's my exciting part about the hire, because it's not intangible in the sense that, of course, you should be happy here. Of course, you should be great.
Right.
But hearing how the steps in the recruiting, the steps in the development, the steps in non-conference scheduling, you can see why Fred hired him.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can see why. And that's what makes it exciting for me. And if you don't agree, that's fine. I don't have a problem with you agreeing. And if Archie Miller has a bad year, a lot of coaches have bad years, and that's fine.
If and when he wins, he'll turn most everybody in his favor. Before we head on out of here, we've got our Final Four this weekend. Gonzaga playing the surprising South Carolina Gamecocks.
First time Gonzaga, first time South Carolina.
Carolina had won, or lost rather, 6 of their last 9 games.
Oh, it's better than that.
So it's not even a momentum thing.
They are the first team since the expansion in 1985 to 64 teams to not make the tournament in 10 consecutive years and make the Final Four. That's what they're dealing with. Got a very nice player.
Oregon against UNC also. Who do you got coming out of these two games? So since we'll be back Monday.
Gonzaga's a lot better than I thought they were.
Yes.
They're much deeper. They are, they've got strong guard play.
They're cool.
They've got
strong cool down the stretch in a couple games too.
Mark Few's pretty good at what he does.
Yeah.
You wonder if it's the Career Achievement Award or he's thinking, hey, South Carolina, I don't think so. I think they're going to beat a lot of people.
Yeah.
And it's going to be Gonzaga in North Carolina finals.
I agree with you. Oregon would not shock me.
Good defense.
They're physical. The blocking shots. A couple of those kids shooting.
I don't know if they can score that many.
Well, a couple of those kids shooting lights out the other day
Dorsey.
Against Kansas and with no conscience. And you got to like that in a big
game,
too.
Well, it's hard to replicate that as well.
It is also. And I think you've got a senior and junior lineup in UNC and deep also. I like
that's
Gonzaga.
Why we picked them
and
to
UNC,
win it.
UNC, the pair of number one seeds. Hey, folks, music means we got to head on out of here. We'll talk to you Monday. So tune in then. And remember, Saturday we've got Final Four starting around 5 o'clock. You've been in the zone.